The play's the thing, and it's titled Shakespeare's Will, and it's by Vern Thiessen. Tanis Kowalczyk performs the role of Anne Hathaway in a lively, song-filled solo performance about the life of Anne Hathaway, the wife of William Shakespeare. The play begins on the afternoon of Shakespeare's funeral. Anne knows she must read her husband's will, but before she does, the widow relives her life as mother, wife, and woman in 17th century Stratford-upon-Avon. Basing the narrative upon the little information known about the bard's wife, playwright Vern Thiessen has written a sensitive and humorous text in verse, taking great delight imagining and inventing the robust, earthy, and intelligent character of Anne Hathaway. From contemplating the death here of Shakespeare to celebrating the birthday of Mr. Lunesta a few blocks away. All the while, children can make music with the Crank Ensemble. The Crank Ensemble is a project of visual artists Larney and Bodil Fox, coming to Scranton Fringe from San Francisco. They make and use hand-cranked instruments from inexpensive materials: plywood, coat hangers, rubber bands, springs, bones, feathers, and other found objects. Audience members of all ages are invited to join in and to explore the sonic possibilities of the instruments. Crank Ensemble. And oh yes, there is that birthday party for Mr. Lunesta. Happy birthday, Mr. Lunesta. The tad bit creepy and always sleepy Mr. Lunesta is having a birthday party. After the celebratory happy birthday is sung, he is gifted a set of keys to the doors of life's unknown questions. Through the doors, he will come across mind-altering cabaret-style performances. The performers are musicians, dancers, performance artists, and visual art makers. You're invited to take in this soiree of the surreal. Happy birthday, Mr. Lunesta. Cabaret, presented by Crystal Dreams. Over the years, Scranton came to be known as a tryout town, and now we're being asked to try out, in a slightly different sense, a wide range of performances packed into 4 days in all kinds of venues, at least a dozen, as part of the Scranton Fringe, a performing arts festival that includes theater, dance, comedy, music, and musicals, children's shows, film, fine art, and much that may be hard to categorize. There's a preview party this Thursday evening at the Scranton Cultural Center, and the festival is set to launch Friday and will run through the wrap party on Sunday night, October 2nd at 8. Co-founders Connor O'Brien, executive director, and Elizabeth Bohan, managing director, stopped in at the WVIA studios to talk with us about year two of Scranton Fringe and the roots of the revelry.
The international and overall history of Fringe began in Edinburgh, Scotland in 1947, when, this is so we're talking about post-World War II Europe, they wanted to reunite through arts and culture, and they decided to hold a festival. And the city of Edinburgh, Scotland was chosen because it was relatively, thankfully, because it's a beautiful city, untouched by the air raids. So they founded the International Edinburgh Festival of Music and Drama. And within that festival, they had the best and brightest of the most classical music and serious drama from around the world, and especially around Europe, especially the UK and the continent, come in. 8 companies who were not accepted, not invited, not asked or allowed to participate in the festival said, well, the city of Edinburgh is going to be packed. There's a giant festival going on. Let's put on our own show. So 8 of them, independently, they all ran their own box offices. They all found their own venues. And it was around the outskirts of the city of Edinburgh. And a journalist and playwright, a Scottish playwright and journalist by the name of Robert Kemp, one year later coined the term in an article, and he said, "There's a lot more drama happening." I'm paraphrasing. "There's a lot more drama happening around the fringe of the festival." So that is how Fringe began in Edinburgh, and it grew and grew and grew, and by the late 50s, it had become its own organized nonprofit and gave it kind of a centralized theme, and now today, it just celebrated its 69th festival, heading into its 70th year, and it is the world's, officially confirmed by the Guinness Book of World Records, it is the world's largest performing arts event, or rather, it is the world's largest arts event ever in the history of mankind. Not just in, you know, today, it is of history, the world's largest arts event. So from that original festival, the mothership of all fringes, other fringe festivals have sort of become inspired and utilized the model and adapted it for their own regions and countries, respectively. The first ever to be held in America was actually held in Seattle in the late 80s, early 90s. However, that folded and has since been reinvented as a new organization, but the longest withstanding festival consecutively run is actually in Orlando since 1992. And Scranton celebrated its first last year, and it's entering its second.
And it took hold. It caught people's imagination, didn't it?
I think so. I think people really took it and made it their own. Last year was a lot about laying the foundations of Fringe, getting people to understand what a Fringe is, which we're still doing and will continue to do for the audience and the artists alike. This year, it's more expand your creativity, have fun, play with it, see what people will be open to doing, see what the area is looking for. We have a lot of great and interesting shows involved this year, kind of fringy themes. One of them is the Dorothy Matrix 8-Bit Orchestra, which is a drag queen who uses Nintendos from the 80s and 90s and Game Boys to perform orchestral music. So that is really a showpiece that can't be missed, and it's just an intriguing idea that you maybe won't see anywhere else.
Is there a fringe circuit of sorts?
There absolutely is, all across the country, as a matter of fact, across the world. We specifically targeted this time of year, late September, early October, to hold ours for many reasons, but foremost was the fact that there is no other major U.S. fringe festival occurring at that time. Philly's wrapping up right around now, by the end of September. Other festivals mostly occur in the summer or spring months. Dealing with fall and winter in the Northeast can always be a risk, but our region is so beautiful. A lot of artists go from festival to festival to festival. One that particularly comes to mind for me is an artist named Michael Burgos, who is bringing his show back from last year. It's the only, to my knowledge, specific encore performance we're bringing back, because it sold out last year. He's in Rochester, New York right now. His show hasn't even opened, and the whole run is sold out. And he's coming off of Edinburgh and Australia and DC, and he'll be going to Baltimore after us, I believe. So he's a perfect example, and that is the Eulogy. Well, he'll be performing at the AFA Gallery during the festival. But that's just one specific example of artists who literally tour the country. And there are others.
We really love the fact that a lot of local artists have gotten involved, but we do also cater to that kind of thing. It's a great way for a young actor, writer, playwright to tour the world, go from fringe to fringe. It's a built-in society of people that are kind of open-minded and like-minded in that way. So it's great that we're involved in that. We're doing our own Scranton thing, but we also are, citizens of the world fringe.
And I think it's exciting that you have been able to expose people from our area or people who are coming to attend the Scranton Fringe to those little gem spaces that we have as a region, whether it be a storefront or a larger space, that there are some surprising places to hold performances.
Yes, absolutely. We are really, really well fortunate and supported. And this goes back to the overall foundation of the Scranton Fringe Festival. We couldn't do it if we didn't have an incredible artistic community, nor could we do it if we didn't have beautiful architecture and an abundance of spaces. One can almost argue that's actually a drawback sometimes to our community. People feel that we don't utilize and we have vacancies. Our venues for this year include, such gorgeous spaces as the Scranton Cultural Center, Shopland Hall, and the Junior Ballroom, which is on the lower level, which is a space rarely utilized. It's often utilized for more their workshops and classes with young people, interior, the AFA Gallery, the Ballet Theater of Scranton, the Lackawanna County Children's Library, the Hilton Hotel and Conference Center has a beautiful amphitheater on the second floor of their space. And then there's spaces like the Bog, the Keys, which, you know, the 21 plus crowd. We also have the Leonard Theater, not only the gorgeous upstairs theater, but something we're particularly proud of this year, the downstairs storefront spaces that we have converted. There's three bays, almost identical, and we'll be converting those into one, a kind of box office central area, and then on either parallel side, we're creating our own miniature black box spaces. So to us, that in its essence is very, very much Fringe. So in a way, we are very fortunate in our region. We actually are able to benefit from, I don't want to say traditional spaces, but spaces that incline themselves very easily to become performance spaces.
Attending the Fringe last year, I saw people who were running into each other and saying, oh, you've got to see.
Right?
They have the brochure, but they hadn't maybe noticed something. Mm-hmm. And there was a lot of spontaneous excitement around what was unfolding.
We really want people to block the whole weekend off. We have our paper guide, which gives a listing of all of the shows that are involved. But the key to your Fringe weekend is our preview party. It's on Thursday night in the Grand Ballroom of the Scranton Cultural Center from 6 to 9. There's going to be light food, drinks available for purchase, and there's going to be handmade vendors. But the focus of the whole evening is different artists that are in the Fringe will give brief 3-minute previews. So you'll be able to look in the book and see what looks interesting to me, come to the party, see maybe some part of the costume. You know, it's not going to be the whole show, but you're going to get a taste of it. And there'll be artists walking around, handing out their flyers to chat with you. It's a very approachable kind of scene instead of like, oh, they're over there hanging out. You know, they'll come to you and talk to you and say, oh, I was here last year. I remember you.
The thing that and it's very common with Fringe festivals, it's kind of an understood fact. We, as the staff and organization itself, I mean, we do a lot, but we provide the venue. I don't mean we provide the tech, do the overall marketing. We tell our artists time and time again, and we try to educate not only them, but the public to kind of understand the culture that we're creating, that we provide the platform. We provide the opportunity, and we promote the overall festival. You promote your individual show. We'll give you advice, we'll give you platforms, we might even be able to throw you, you know, a couple of little benefits here and there, but ultimately, we're going to give you this large audience, and that's part of the mission of Fringe, is not only to give a platform for artists, but to engage our audiences, the people of Scranton, the greater people of northeastern Pennsylvania, not just Scranton, or maybe people visiting Scranton and getting to see that Scranton can be an eclectic, engaging. And I think it's just as important to make your audiences decisive. We somehow have become a culture where we sometimes fear choice, and I think that's really, really, really disappointing. I mean, if nothing else, and it's so weird when you think about that, we are a country built on the concept of choosing. We choose our leaders. We choose, theoretically, our policies and, you know, our procedures. And in a perfect world, we would choose, you know, where we choose to live and how we choose to live our lives. So let's take that down just to a more microscopic scale. We should choose what kind of art we engage with and artists we support. And the more decisive I think we become, the more we as a people and a culture in Scranton realize we can hold people to high standards. We can hold ourselves to high standards. We can hold our art to high standards. If you don't like a play, it's okay to say it. Not everything that trots the boards is necessarily inherently great. I'm not trying to create an environment of cynics and of detractors, or to, you know, be with the kids these days, say haters. But, you know, I think there's definitely something to be said about the Scranton Fringe mission is to engage artists and audiences alike. And sometimes that means different things, but I think as a collective, we found a nice balance between those two.
I think part of what Connor was also trying to say is that different people like different things, and sometimes in the landscape of yearly theater, the same things get offered. So people who are interested in Shakespeare, great. We have two different Shakespeare productions, Shakespeare's Will about Anne Hathaway and the repercussions on her after Shakespeare died. And we also have All's Well That Ends As You Like It, which is a course play with a mishmash of funny Shakespeare mixed in. But if you like Shakespeare, great, go see the Shakespeare. If you don't like Shakespeare, then, you know, go see a different show. We have a ton of different options and opportunities, and it's just, you're spoiled for choice.
What stories have you heard from last year? Are there things that you can say, I think we did make a difference there in the community?
I have one. There is an actor, and out of privacy, I'll respect who he is, but it's an actor that I've actually had the pleasure of since then working with. Phenomenally talented. He was in a show in the Fringe. He was a professional working actor for years in Manhattan and L.A. He ran into some health problems, life happens, and this was one of the first real chances he had to get back to the stage. He was in a phenomenal show in The Fringe last year, and in the middle of The Fringe, I'm running around to venues, checking on things, doing some busy work, and he stopped me, and with almost tears in his eyes, he said, "I just want to let you know how much this festival has meant to me, and as an artist and as a person." And he said, "I am so, so excited to be back in this area, in this region." He said, "I've been this whole time kind of beating myself up. I felt like I missed an opportunity at some point, and now I realized I absolutely didn't." And that was I was already tired and, you know, running on adrenaline and emotional level number 12, but it was the sweetest, most well-meaning thing, especially coming from someone who I have come to respect as an artist so incredibly. So for me, that one little incident meant the world to me. And there's a dozen others I could cite, but that comes to mind the most.
I have one similar. Last year, the Big Gay Story Slam was a part of the Fringe. This year, the Scranton Fringe Festival has taken over the Scranton Story Slam, so it's kind of under our wing. And we're doing the Big Gay Story Slam again as the featured event on Saturday at the Cultural Center. What happened was the event was very successful. It was one of our largest attended events. And, you know, it happened and it was great and we were done with it. And the Fringe was wrapping up and, you know, like Connor said, running around, going crazy, picking up all the pieces, doing all the details. And then about 2 weeks later, I had just happened to come across like a blog post from someone who was a college student locally that I didn't know, I had never met. But the blog post basically said, "I'm new to Scranton. I identify as LGBT. I felt isolated. I went to this Big Gay Story Slam and I saw my people and my community. And it was so heartening for this, you know, college freshman to realize that, you know, you can be whatever you want and express yourself however you want in your sexuality and your life and live your life." And so for me, coming across a few weeks later, I didn't know at the time that that had happened. Somebody said, "This impacted my life greatly, and it will change the way that I live my college life in Scranton." I was in tears. It was very, yeah, touching.
And then there was the people that were like, "Oh my gosh, it was so much fun." And I mean, where I'm not, I mean, Liz and I, you know, had our just little emotional moments there. But but just to show you, yeah, it's life at all its levels. It's life at its, you know, heartfelt, tender moments. It's life at its fun. I also am sure, and even if I didn't hear it personally, I'm sure some of the content and subject matter and provocative discussions that some shows last year might have brought up some issues that aren't wonderful and great. But, you know, what's a cornerstone, a major cornerstone of Fringe is we do not believe in censorship. If it's squeaky clean, you know, all ages puppet show, great. If it's dark and maybe a little provocative or maybe a little twisted and sinister or deep in its subject matter, that's wonderful too. It's about giving artists a platform. It's about giving voices an opportunity to be heard. So when you give a wide range of voices a platform to be heard in a safe, engaging, and accessible platform, it's not out of reach, it's not out of touch, then all you're doing is making a bunch of human beings a little less miserable, I suppose.
And not believing in censorship, but we do believe in having every person be informed, well informed. So every show is rated. The ratings are in our paper guide and on our website. So if you want to show up to a show that is rated R and you're bringing your 12-year-old, we're not going to stop you, but you know what you're getting into.
Give us some more examples.
Oh, one thing that I would personally love to touch upon. We have an artist by the name of Ted LaRusso. He unveiled a show last year at The Fringe called Scranton Decameron. It was one of the shows I heard the most about. You know, and I'm also a very great admirer of Ted's work. He's an off-Broadway published playwright, award-winning screenwriter and playwright who's moved back to the area after a 30-year career in Manhattan. He unveiled a show last year called Scranton Decameron Part 1, which is based on the Decameron. So it's 100 short plays all about Scranton, and he's been presenting them in 3 installments. Last year he presented Part 1, 30 or so. This year it's all themed around going to the hospital, and it's really beautiful because it's kind of all from his perspective and the evolution of him being back in the region after such a long time and the perspective that he's brought to that. But they're also really funny and they're quick. It's no sets. It's chairs, actors, and index cards. And it's a beautiful show and it's really interesting. And to connect with that as well, Ted's like superstar of The Fringe this year. I never really thought of that. He's also the writer of a one act that's part of a series that's being presented by Actor Circle at a totally different venue, unrelated. You know, he had nothing to do with that. They just chose his work. And then on top of that, he has been working with us teaching a teen playwriting workshop at the Everhart Museum for the past few weeks or so. It'll be a 6-week course total when it's done. And they're going to be able to present their stage stage reading works at the Hilton Hotel on Friday, September 30th at 6 o'clock, open to the public for free as part of the festival. So we are in turn breeding a new generation of at least six new playwrights under Ted's masterful wing. So as someone, as a writer and an actor, you know, in another, you know, chapter of my life, I really, really, really love that. And I would have, I'm almost kind of bitter and jealous that I didn't have that once upon a time. But no, he's a phenomenal writer. And the work, I've been seeing little samples of their work. It's so interesting. It was done in partnership with the Everhart Museum through Arts Engage in Lackawanna County. The very first class, he took them up to the main gallery of the museum. He picked out 10 to 12 pieces. They, as a group, went through and just dissected them totally based on visual. He encouraged them, of course, to then in turn research the artist and learn more about its history. But at the initial prompt and exercise was just, what narrative can you take from this? And their plays are only going to be 10 minutes. They have to have no less than two, no more than three characters, really getting to the heart of dialogue and development and a basic story. But I absolutely adore the Teen Playwriting Workshop.
We're looking to involve all aspects of art. I'm a writer, not an actress, so I'm very interested in the Teen Playwriting Workshop. And also this year we're doing a visual exhibit that we're sponsoring. It'll be at AFA Gallery. It'll start before the Fringe and wrap up at our wrap-up party at the end of the Fringe on Sunday at 8 p.m. We're also doing a short film series where we had different people submit their already completed 5 to 20 minute films, trying to bring in all aspects of art and performing. One of the people that's coming from out of town is Cody Clark. He actually has two different shows in the Fringe. One of them will be presented for free at the Children's Library, and it is Conductor Cody. It's a show about trains, which couldn't meld better with Scranton and Steamtown and everything. And his second show is Cody Clark, A Different Way of Thinking. It's a magic show that he kind of got into magic as a way of dealing with his autism. He brings that out in the show and talks about it. He's somebody who's coming from Kentucky, an Out of Town Fringe artist. He's coming just now from the Elgin Fringe Festival, which is near Chicago, and bringing the ideas of being different and the ideas of overcoming problems, which I can't think of more fringy kind of themes.
I might be biased, but a show in particular I'm really excited about comes from the New Vintage Ensemble, which I'm a proud member of. The show is called Retrospective, a journey to the center of the salacious pop icon. And in one sentence, the theme and message of the show is to love yourself like Kanye West loves Kanye West. I love it because it takes everything about the internet, the media, the concept of celebrity, his work. And in a weird way, I was never a huge fan of his. I liked his music, but I always kind of thought, oh, he's a little pompous. And then when you kind of really explore what he's saying and the message of his music and some of his, you know, public statements, and you take them out of context, I can see how they can be distorted. And he has an ego, but every artist does, and he does produce, and what, no matter like it or hate it, his work is seen and his voice is heard. And why do we have such a problem with his voice being heard? And is that connected possibly to race? And it absolutely is connected to race and what he's saying and the issues that, and that's co-created by ensemble members Simone Daniel and Jessica McDonough. And it's the little snippets I've been seeing as a member of the ensemble and as on behalf of the Fringe. I mean, it involves the Scranton High School step team. It involves ballet. They've incorporated Shakespeare. It's multimedia. It's mind-blowing. It's just mind-blowing. I fully will put a disclaimer. I'm biased because I'm a member of this group, and I love Simone and Jess and all the work they do. But just simply as a Fringe artist, I will say it is one of the most unique pieces that I think we're going to see this year. But it's not the only one. There's a lot of other great work that we've been talking about, and you can see for yourself in the guide or by going to scrantonfringe.org. The Scranton Fringe Festival is taking place in 12 venues throughout downtown Scranton, September 29th through October 2nd. You can attend the free preview party on Thursday, September 29th at 6 o'clock at the Scranton Cultural Center to get a taste. And for tickets and more information, please visit our website, www.scrantonfringe.org.
Tickets for all shows are on sale now and pre-sale on our website. Also, during the Fringe weekend, tickets will not be available online. You have to pay at the door with cash, so we want the audience to be aware of that.
And in addition to the individual tickets you can purchase a Fringe button, which gets you special discounts on tickets and perks at downtown businesses. You can find more information about that on our website or page 6 of the guide. And you can also purchase a VIP pass to get you access to everything at the Scranton Fringe Festival. So
limited quality is going fast.
Yeah, they are going relatively fast this year. So yeah, lots of opportunities, lots of ways to see. Just to give you some statistical context, last year the festival featured 48 productions, nearly 100 individual performances, and we had about 3,000 unique individuals in attendance. So this year, the festival features over 50 productions, over 100 individual performances and special events. Obviously, we don't know the attendance yet, but if we believe there's any kind of correlation, that 3,000 number is at least going to stay consistent, if not grow. You know, hopefully, and it's definitely going to grow a little bit. So just to give people an idea, not only to get them excited about, wow, this is a really big thing happening, but a polite and positive, constructive reminder of don't take anything for granted. If you want this to continue, you need to support it. And also don't take it for granted that you're guaranteed a seat to every single show you want to see. Most shows, I'm sure, won't sell out. I mean, there'll always be a few seats available. We do our best to make sure we can fit as many people as possible. But at the end of the day, a venue size is a venue size. There is a certain boundary of legality we can't overstep. And that's also something really exciting for artists to be able to say, yeah, I sold out my venue. So yeah, we definitely want people, if nothing else, contact us. Go to our website, scrantonfringe.org. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. If there's any questions that aren't answered in this lovely discussion or they can't find on the internet or in our guides, they can contact us.
What has been the response from fellow fringes to your success?
Really positive.
Yeah, we're getting more and more involved in the fringe community. Last year, before we founded our fringe, we dipped our toes in kind of comparing what do other towns our size do, what do other situations do. And before we started our fringe, I didn't realize, for example, Atlanta has 6 venues last year and I think about 24 artists. So from Scranton compared to Atlanta, that's just crazy to think about. I understand there's different technicalities and organizing and that kind of thing. But just to compare towns of different sizes and the amount of people that they have the capability to accept into their fringes, I feel like Scranton is really doing well. It's showing itself doing well in the fringe community.
We've had numerous people, literal experts, people that have their doctorates in theater management and history, specifically in fringe festivals, tell us that for a first-year festival, it was one of, if not the best first-year festival they ever saw in terms of, and these people had not just public perception, but we kind of invited some of them behind the scenes a little bit. So in terms of internal organization, public perception, performance content, you know, it runs the spectrum. They really felt that it was something interesting. It was something unique. And I'm sure for some, it was kind of a surprise, you know, a small city called Scranton, Pennsylvania, that is for the most part known in mainstream media now as the fictional host of The Office, a television show on NBC. So I'm sure it was like, oh, they'll do something nice. It'll be cute. And once they get here, it's, oh my gosh. And once again, we can't take too much credit for that because it really goes back to the fact that, yeah, we have a thriving, if not sometimes not always well perceived arts community. And we have an incredible downtown with beautiful architecture and businesses and really interesting eclectic characters, both on and off stage. So I think the foundation's really there, and that's something we constantly strive for, is that if we can help Scranton with its self-esteem in a way, its cultural self-esteem, its community self-esteem in the smallest way, I think we've done our job.
Co-founders Connor O'Brien, Executive Director, and Elizabeth Bohan, Managing Director of the Scranton Fringe, a 4-day performing arts festival that includes theater, dance, comedy, music and musicals, children's shows, film, fine art, and much that may be hard to categorize at 12 different venues in and around Scranton. For more information on the web, www.scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org. There is a preview party this Thursday evening from 6 to 9 at the Scranton Cultural Center, and the festival is set to launch on Friday, September 30th, and run through the wrap party on Sunday night, October 2nd at 8. For more information, scrantonfringe.org, scrantonfringe.org. Some of the artists have sent their materials to us, and they include Mark Malacaccio, and he's directing The Playboy of the Western World by John Millington Synge, and that's in the Junior Ballroom at the Scranton Cultural Center, Saturday, October 1st at 1, this Saturday at 1 in the afternoon, and again Sunday, October 2nd at 4, The Playboy of the Western World, directed by Mark Malacaccio. Also, another who sent us information, I Want You, Join the Hugging Army, spoken word, interactive performances by Vanessa Lee White Fernandez. Vanessa of the Hugging Army believes in hugs, and so audience members will be guided through the process of giving and receiving full, deep, connected hugs to other people. And there will be lots of practice. And that's Saturday, October 1st at 2:30 p.m. at the Hilton Hotel and Conference Center. The Scranton Fringe Festival, September 29th through October 2nd in downtown Scranton, an annual performing arts festival. For more information, on the web, scrantonfringe.org. Scranton Fringe headquarters can be found at 222 Wyoming Avenue in the Ritz Building. Advance tickets are available online and then only at the door on the day of the various performances. scrantonfringe.org.